Support local journalism and enjoy full access to the Green Gazette Digital Edition with a print subscription. Subscribe today at thegazette.com/subscribe.
Welcome to the Opinion Combination Podcast. I'm KJ Pilcher alongside Dick Briggs, ready to talk a little college wrestling with you during this segment of the podcast. Of course, we've got lots to talk about with Iowa and you and I in action. What's ahead for Iowa State and you and I here at the end of this week. And then we'll also talk a little bit about D2 and D3 happenings here in the area. And, of course, I've got a blind five for you, Briggsy, this week. So
be ready for
that.
Yep, ready or not, here we come, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So, well, let's just dive right into it here. Iowa State was idle this week, but Iowa had the Uncivil War hosted by Journeyman Wrestling, where they faced Tennessee Chattanooga and Utah Valley down at Hannibal, Missouri. First off, I want to ask you really quick. You see some of these satellite duels, and they're not necessarily anything new. You know, I remember when Buena Vista wrestled Iowa and South Dakota State at Spencer 1 year. These aren't necessarily new, but it's kind of going in different places. You know, we've seen Iowa State have duels at Humboldt and at David Carr's high school alma mater, I believe, in Ohio. What do you think of these events where you're bringing in kind of a big Division I marquee brand name school and you know, wrestling in a high school where they wouldn't necessarily see a team like that live?
I think it's a good idea. However, I do have to ask this question. I don't know the connection with Missouri. I'm glad they're getting down there and showing, you know, the Iowa, you know, but I think Iowa didn't they go out to the Zadix maybe or somewhere out in the Northwest?
They went out to Montana. Well, I know Montana, I want to say, is it Montana Northern, where Terry coached at one time. Where the Zadix were from. So, yeah, they've gone out to, like, Montana before.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's a good thing for wrestling, you know, and I don't think it takes away much from the Iowa, for Iowa not to wrestle those types of meets, in Carver. Because, they handled both of the teams really well. And so it was more kind of fun for Iowa to travel and go a different place, and obviously the fans that don't normally get to see the Iowa team or any of the other teams that were competing as well.
And of course, as we mentioned, Iowa pretty dominant in their performance on Friday night. They beat Chattanooga 37-6. Then they beat Utah Valley 33-7. Some of the interesting things, though, I thought was no Drake Ayala at 133. Masoma and Dean at 197. Not exactly sure why on those. Easton Fleshman wrestled at heavyweight instead of Ben Keeter. You know, Keeter's, you know, coming back from off-season surgery and might have had some issues earlier this season as well. So kind of understand, or you can kind of maybe assume the thinking there and trying to limit some things, wear and tear, mileage on a body part here early on. But, you know, do you think it's anything to be concerned of, or did that get your attention at all?
I honestly have no idea on Ayala. Maybe it's just needs a break, a weight thing. Could be just he dinged up maybe, or, you know, it wasn't competition where they were going to be in dire need of his skills. And Keeter, I think you're exactly right. I'm guessing, you know, for the same reason, you know, the competition wasn't particularly strong. They're giving him a break, you know, just guiding him along, milking him along, however you want to say it, to get him to full strength at the end of the season. I don't know on Andin. That's a bit of a question mark to me, and maybe he needs a break as well. But you just never know there. And then Oslo, they had Voinovich, which is, I don't know, they're still trying to figure out what's going on there between at the 157. They obviously went in there and cleaned up pretty much and only lost the matches that they had their second person in at.
Just kind of go down the lineup really quick. Dean Peterson started things off with a tech fall over number 18, Cooper Flynn, in the Chattanooga duel. Big win there for Dean Peterson, who's up to sixth in the rankings. But really offensive. That was something he talked about last week. Really wanted to be more consistent, more offensive. He showed it there. Nasir Bailey with a win. Ryder Block with a technical fall at 149. You mentioned Voinovich. He got the nod in both duels and opened with a major decision over Kavarius Little, 11-3. Michael Caliendo we'll hit more on after here in a second. But he was impressive. Him and Kennedy, a pin, and then followed by Kennedy's tech fall. Angelo Ferrari with a technical fall as well. Gabe Arnold, we'll talk in depth about as well, moved up to 197 despite weighing like 179, according to the Flow Wrestling team, Piles and Bader. In the Utah Valley duel, the winners were Peterson again, and then Bailey with a major decision, Block with a pin. So he is really starting to thrive at that 149-pound spot, and that's got to be a real positive for the Hawkeyes. Voinovich with a decision, 10-3. Caliendo and Kennedy with a pin and tech fall again. Ferrari with a decision. And then Arnold with another decision there, wrestling up at 197. But Michael Caliendo, you know, that he is somebody that since he transferred from North Dakota State, I think maybe doesn't necessarily get the pat on the back that he deserves with being consistent and being kind of a consistent point scorer and being offensive. That he probably should get. I think he's been kind of the, you know, I know they've had no break Drake, right? But, man, Caliendo has just been one of those consistently offensive guys putting points up just about every time. I would say the times that he doesn't score a lot of points or isn't offensive and gets takedowns, those are the rare moments. Compared to other people.
Right. He's been the leader this year for sure. And on the mat, and he like last couple of years, I would say he's not necessarily offensive, putting lots of points on the board. I mean, he did, but not like he has this year. And I'm comparing his past years to this year. And I agree with you. He's really stepping up and now, you know, everyone's a little different. Cause you know, maybe, Ayala had some pretty tough competition and suffered a loss there. And then maybe Caliendo hasn't quite met that upper echelon competition yet. That's, you know, probably going to happen in January here. But right now you're right. He got two pins and that's pretty unusual for him to get pins, you know? So if I remember right,
he made a
good show.
He even made reference to that. Yeah, he even I think one of the see if I can find his quote, but yeah, he even touched on that about getting the pins. You know, he had tech falls locked up in both when he was able to get the pin. Here's what he said. I was a little pumped up to get a pin. I can't remember the last time I got one. And then I got two today. I put on a dominant performance that I would say I'm proud of. but like I said, I was just happy to get a pin. I've gotten a lot of tech falls, but don't usually put guys on their backs and get a lot of back points. So that was a good refresher.
Yeah, he loves being neutral and working for takedowns, that's for sure. So that's kind of fun for him.
You know, we made comments on a writer block. You know, we thought maybe kind of his breakout win was Pinero Johnson against Iowa State. We've seen him just kind of build on that now. For him to go out and be dominant, he's up to like 8 in the rankings right now. What's that do for him, and what's that do for this team to kind of have maybe a question mark in the lineup really come through and wrestle well here before the holiday break?
A couple of things with Ryder. First of all, when he was wrestling Johnson, he sure looked the part. He fit the weight class. I mean, he looked big compared to Johnson, and he handled. They used his length and his size in that match. And another thing, you know, here's a guy that started unranked at the beginning of the season, and now is upper teens if I'm right, somewhere in there. And so he's obviously climbing the ladder, and that's a fun thing, both for a coach, for the fans, obviously for he and his family, to watch that ascension up the rankings and possibly into All-American status. So yeah, he's on a roll right now. You know, there's going to be a setback. It's just part of the nature of the game. So you're going to have to rebound from that. But right now, it's a fun ride.
Yeah. So Block, depending on the rankings heading into last Friday, they list all 4 rankings. The Gazette, we go by Flow Wrestling rankings, but Intermat has them at 8. Flow has them as high as 6. AWN wow. and Wynn has them at 12 and 9. So, you know, he's really come through. Of course, he's 6-1 right now.
Wow. Okay.
You know, and I'm trying to look up here. You know, his lone loss is to Ethan Stiles of Ohio State, 3-2. And at the time, Stiles was ranked 9th. But, you know, he's had wins over Josh Edmond of Missouri, who was ranked 6th at the time. Beat Casey Swiderski of Okie State, 5-3. He's wrestled ranked wrestlers every time he's wrestled. His lowest ranked opponent is Cade Brown of Pittsburgh, who was 20th, and he majored him. So he's had 4 top 10 opponents coming into – this was coming into Chattanooga, of course. He was 4-1 with a 1-point loss to Stiles of Ohio State. So I would think if somebody told you that coming into the season – Iowa fans would be pretty optimistic, pretty pumped for where this team would be at.
Boy, that's nice. I did not realize that. So, I mean, obviously Chattanooga and Utah Valley, I don't think they were ranked, but nevertheless, they could be ranked lower up, maybe upper 20s or something, but nevertheless, that's really nice. Good for him. You bet. That's cool.
Yeah. I'm working on a little bit of a feature. I'll take this time for a quick little plug. Working for a little feature over the holidays on Ryder Block and kind of what he's been through. Of course, it's been documented 2 ACL tears once he got into college. He's had some family adversity with his dad, who was a coach and a huge influence on him as a wrestler, obviously as a person. go through a little bit of a health issue, and he's handled all that. As Coach Brand said, he's handled it like a man, pretty much. And I think you're starting to see some of the you're starting to see that on the mat as well. Just how he's dealt with everything, and that's been good. And speaking of the way people have dealt with things, you know, in the off season, there was a little situation with Gabe Arnold. You know, did he leave? Did he get dismissed? What have you? Where was he going to fit in the lineup? You know, where you've got Kennedy, an All-American at 74, you've got Angelo Ferrari at, you know, 184. Where would Gabe Arnold fit? How would all that work out? Right now, it's been Kennedy at 74, Ferrari at 84. Gabe Arnold is filled in, but it appears he's on his way down. He said so after Pitt. He was planning on getting down to 74. On Friday, the Flow Wrestling guys talked about him weighing 179, so he's definitely on his way with a descent plan. But the fact that he has come in, he seems to be in good spirits, seems to be real supportive, even though he's not getting the nod. He got to fill in once against Pittsburgh at 184. Here he's moving up two weight classes almost to fill in at 190. And he seemed to do it with a smile on his face, you know, and just he's talked about taking advantage of the opportunities. I think this is exactly what Iowa coaches, the Iowa program, the supporters, teammates wanted to see out of Gabe Arnold. I think he's doing everything right, dotting all the I's and crossing the T's and what he's doing right now. And, you know, I think that's another good sign for this team. It's only going to make it stronger, and it's going to be a tough decision at 174 if he gets down there and is able to perform as well as Kennedy has so far.
Right, and if college descent plans or anything like high school descent plans, which I think they are, he had to weigh in at a certain weight to be able to go up to 97 and still be able to descend down to 74. So, I mean, there's a smaller window, really, for that opportunity. So he obviously was a very light 97-pounder, but still had to be above the – or, you know, within that little range that allowed him to get to 74 when he wants to. I assume it's going to be for the soldier salute, which I think would be good, because if he does that, there's an opportunity for him to maybe wrestle Kennedy in the soldier salute. We've certainly seen that before. Remember 2-3 years ago, we had a little bit of a clash at 125 with Spencer Lee and Ayala. Spencer wasn't too happy about that, as I recall. But anyway, so that, you know, that could happen. And that's, you know, when you get that match on publicly in a regular competition, you know, that match being Arnold and Kennedy, if that happens, you know, that could answer a lot of questions for us, you know, us on the outside looking in. So
any last thoughts from that double duel in Missouri for Iowa? You know, Kennedy looked real impressive as well with his two techs. We talked about 157 question mark and Victor Voinovich winning twice, getting the nod twice. And now we got Miguel Estrada, I believe, is down to 157. So he's going to be somebody that might factor in to this. Iowa's off until the Soldier Salute the first weekend of January. So we might just have to wait and see then. But any final thoughts there, right, as far as the Hawkeyes go?
Yeah, I just say this. 141, Nasser Bailey put 12 points on the board and won 12-1 over the number 17th ranked Utah Valley wrestler. So kudos to him. So, you know, I think a little bit of a question mark as to whether he was offensive enough, you know, early on in some of his matches. And so I think the coaches and probably Nasser himself probably happy to see that.
For sure.
That'd be my final thought.
All right, well, let's switch gears to you and I. You and I hosted Missouri. At the time, it was number 14 Missouri, number 15 you and I. You and I wins 22-14. And to be really honest, I know it was a 6-4 split. I thought you and I was a clear better team overall. I know it's only a match or two away from – maybe flip-flopping, but I was impressed with the way you and I wrestled from start to finish for the most part.
Yeah, you're right, and especially from start. Well, and finish, too, no, heavyweight. But big start. Trevor Anderson and beat Mark Mauger from Missouri. It was a 12-0 match, so a major. And both of them well, the rankings I was looking at, I think it was Intermat, had Anderson at 27 and Mauger at 28. So to major and actually shut out a comparable wrestler like that, that was a great start for you and I. And I know that crowd in in McLeod Center was probably rocking on that one. Then also Julian Farber at 133 beats Cade Moore, the number 17th ranked, Farber being 26. 9-8, and got a, if I remember, it got a late takedown and then ride out to win the match. And yeah, that place was rocking. And when that happens, that's a adrenaline to the rest of the team and to really get it going. So those two really started it out strong.
Yeah. And then Corey Land, he had a nice win, put, against another ranked wrestler there, Seltzer from Missouri, ranked right around 20th. He won 5-1. That put him up 10-0. You and I got a couple more wins later. Ryder Downey with a tough one over Max Mayfield. He's a guy that's right in that round of 12 projections for Mizzou. Ryder won 1-0. Jared Sima. He looked good. 12-0 major decision. You and I know it sounds cliche and it might sound like one of those dumb comments, but the way that you and I wrestled to the final whistle in certain matches and in matches where they could have put on the cruise control, right? You got a major from Anderson, but Sima, he got a late 4-point near fall that allowed him to get a major 12-0 at 174. Wyatt Volker, we talked about Farber, having to get the late takedown and then the ride out for riding time point to win 9-8. Volker, he was wrestling all the way to the end trying to get a takedown. For the technical fall, ended up getting a stalling point, which ended up giving him a tech fall with the riding time point at the end of the match, 21-6. But the way you and I wrestled the full 7 minutes, and like I said, boy, it's cliche and sounds like coach speak when they're saying it, but when you see it out on the mat, that says a lot about a team, and it's one of the reasons why I just think this UNI team, you worry about a drop off after last season. And this is something that, this team has seemed to really, they haven't fallen off that much despite some of the guys that they lost.
And that's exactly what Doug Schwab needs and the Panthers need. You can't drop down and say, oh, we've lost our big guy, it's a rebuilding. No, you've got to keep your goals high, set them high, and keep trying to get to that level, because that's what's going to bring in quality athletes into your program. instead of having to bring in athletes and develop them, and which they do anyway. And you know, if you can get those five-star, are they five-star athletes in wrestling? I don't know. but if you get those kids in, boy, you keep that program in that top 10 range and hopefully higher. So I'm glad to see that. And I can't help but wonder if this match was held down in Missouri, if it would have been a little bit more difficult for you and I to sustain that intensity at the end of the match, you know, with the big crowd, Missouri crowd getting down on them. So, you know, again, I you know, compliments to the McLeod Center and the Panther trained fans. So that was a neat, another neat meet to see.
And I'm glad you made that point, Briggsy, because I wanted to point out that, you know, the West Gym was something totally different than what you and I's wrestling in right now, right? I mean, it was small, it was hot. On big duels, make sure the fire marshal isn't anywhere in the area, right? It was fun and electric and really intense, and the crowd was right on top of the action. This is a little different than the McLeod Center because of being a bigger venue, but UNI is 9-2 in their last 11 duels there. And wow. they've got wins over Missouri. They've got wins over Nebraska, who was ranked number 4 at the time. They've got wins over Iowa State. They got a win over Iowa State last year. I think Oklahoma State's one of the only teams to really beat them. I think Columbia the one year, which was kind of a fluke, I would say. No disrespect there, but it was a surprise. But going back to 23-24 that season, UNI is 9-2, and they've got some pretty good wins there in the McLeod Center. So that's becoming a place that's hard for opponents to win.
Right. And, you know, there's everything's going to be almost an away meet for you and I, since their wrestling room isn't on campus. Even if the West Gym was there, well, then they'd be able to wrestle, I guess, or work out there. But because their practice facility is off campus, coming on campus is almost an away meet in a sense. But the McLeod Center sure has been warm, especially when you get a big crowd that, you know, those UNI fans love to yell. And they'll get on the opponents if they're not moving, stalling, and so forth.
Yeah, we've seen some duels there with covered UNI Oklahoma, UNI Iowa State, and it's been fun. So that support behind the Panther train is growing, and you like to see that. You like to see that at the McLeod Center. Of course, you and I will be in action this weekend again. They'll be at home at the McLeod Center against North Carolina on Sunday, the 21st. 1 p.m. start there against the Tar Heels. Of course, the last time the Tar Heels were in town, that was at the West Gym. And you and I won that match, I think, 17-16. That's been a few years ago. Of course, a little bit of a connection with you and I, with Rob Cole coaching the Tar Heels, his father, Bill Cole, former UNI coach, as well, but another good test right before the holiday break.
Right. And Bill Cole was a wrestler when my dad was at, and mom were at UNI. Oh, sorry. Back in the State Teachers College of Iowa or something like that.
Yep.
Anyway, so I grew up hearing that name, the Cole name. I was able to meet him quite a long time ago, but a heck of a family, that Russell family, the Cole as well. And one last thing on you and I in Missouri. I don't know if you took note. At 184, the Aiden Sinclair from Missouri is ranked number 2 right now, and he's a freshman. And this guy's for real, man. Jeez. That's going to be fun to watch him, you know. So
yeah, he's got a win over Max McNeely. McNeely from Minnesota. And he nearly knocked off Ferrari. Ferrari did a nice job getting a win there. I think might have been in tiebreakers. So, Aiden Sinclair has been impressive here the first half of the season.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Iowa State's Iowa also State,
next. Yeah, Iowa State on Sunday. Is that right?
Yep. Just a quick mention. Iowa State's still ranked third in the NWCA rankings. Iowa fourth. You and I's moved up to 12th after that win against Missouri. Penn State's number one. They beat Wyoming here recently for their 75th straight dual victory. They're one away from tying Oklahoma State's major college level, which before it was D1. Oklahoma State had won 76 in a row from like 37 to 51 or something like that. So Penn State's one duel away. They'll be at the collegiate duels where Iowa State is, and more than likely will hit that record. They're two away from the overall NCAA record, which is 77 in a row from St. Cloud State, which is a D2 power. So more than likely, they'll go 2-0 down at the collegiate duels in Nashville this weekend and tie that overall record with 77 straight duels. I can't remember exactly who. I think they might have North Dakota State and somebody else. But Iowa State, the big one there at the collegiate duels with Iowa State and Ohio State, number two Ohio State, number three Iowa State facing off on Sunday.
Right, and then also Lehigh, is that right, at 5 o'clock? So yep. Lehigh's ranked on 19, it's also a good meet. Ohio State, man, I don't know. As good as Iowa State's wrestling, I just don't think Ohio State, they're solid. And, you know, kind of, bit of a surprise to me to be that strong. I mean, we knew they were going to be good, but really? They came out of those national duels very impressive.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, that I think 133 is a weight that stands out. You know, Frost and Devino, both of them with wins over Ayala. You know, that could be a really fun a weight class. I think there's a lot of them up and down the lineup there. Those middleweights, it should be a fun duel and might be one, you know, Echemendia and Mendez at 41 as well. You know, right now Mendez has looked like a whole different beast. And of course, everybody knows Echemendia's history with Ohio State. That's where he started. But we'll see. Could be a really fun duel there. But if Iowa State wants to win, they're going to have to get those two matches at 133, 141, I think. Or at least split them.
I agree. Yep, those are critical, and that's going to be tough to beat both of those guys. It's going to be tough to beat one of those guys, let alone both.
Yep. Nope. For sure. All right, I got a blind five for you. I had a little help from my daughters here this time around. We stuck with the holiday theme from last week. Here's five holiday foods. You ready for that?
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. I have lots of experience on this.
All right. So the first one is a pretty good staple. Pumpkin pie. Where do you put pumpkin pie as far as holiday foods go?
Oh, man. Because I think you're good. I'm doing five, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So pumpkin pie. I'm usually during the holidays, I'm not a big dessert guy, so I'm going to put it at 5. I like pumpkin pie. That's something. I'm just going to put, that's like, you know, another thought to me. I want to get to the main courses. So what do you got?
All right. Ham. Like a spiral ham.
Ham. I just bought some ham today. I think you're going to. I love ham. I'm going 3. 3 on the ham.
3? Okay. All right. Yep. Mac and cheese. Where's a good mac and cheese side dish fit for you?
Oh. Got to go 4. I'm not a mac and cheese guy necessarily.
Okay.
So. Yep. I would have flopped that, that with pumpkin. Yep.
Our family, big mac and cheese family. Big mac and cheese family. Love it. All right.
No, not me. Yeah.
All right. How about turkey? Where does turkey fit in?
Turkey?
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's dressing next, I like dressing. So I'm going to go turkey 1. And if dressing is next, then I'm going to flip those. So, okay. Turkey is 1.
All right. Now, here's a question. Turkey for both Thanksgiving and Christmas?
It's all right with me.
Okay.
Throw all it right. Easter if you want.
And this one.
Dressing. Oh, yeah. Green beans.
How about green bean casserole? That's the last one. Green bean casserole.
Oh, I love it.
Do you really?
Some last week. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, number 2. I'm all right with that. Turkey and bean casserole. That's good. Yeah.
Okay.
The only thing I would have flipped is the macaroni cheese and the pumpkin pie, probably.
Okay. I almost there's a joke in our family about green beans that I actually transferred schools because I dislike green beans. I'm a scallop corn kind of guy. So let's delve into before we close things up, let's delve into the D2, D3 results here from last week. Co-wrestled at the North Central Invite, had 7 place winners. Luther did well. Upper Iowa was at the Midwest Classic Conference. But what did you see there on the D2 and D3 front last weekend, Brixie?
Right, that North Central tournament is a good tournament. Coast top finish was Brody Nade, and they had 3 that finished 3rd. Braden Park, Lynn Marquette, of course, graduate, and then Dresden Grimm and Wyatt Smith, Lisbon grad, were 3rd, and then Bo Codrum was 4th. Their next competition is their NWCA duels in January 9th and 10th. And then Cornell, they had the Cornell duels, and then they lost some close matches to Rain, and then Luther is number 10. They lost 23-17, so right in there, one match right there. Then they lost 21-18 to the 24th ranked Central team, and then they beat Stevens Point 34-11. So they're competing really well. Cornell has only 3 losses. And their next competition is my favorite, the Gator Rules, the Gator Boots Duels. So that's how the Nashville Tennessee. I love that one. The Loras, who beat Cornell, is currently 4-0. They beat Nebraska Wesleyan 26-20. They beat Westminster College 46-6. And their next competition is the 20th year coming up in 3 days. They have Shriner University and St. John's University. And then Luther, who beat Cornell, like I mentioned, and they also beat Stevens Point 36-12. And they will wrestle next at the Gator Boots Duels. And then going to Division II, Upper Iowa was at that very, very tough Midwest Classic. I mean, that thing's tougher, in my opinion, that tournament is, than the Division II NCAAs, because there's more teams there. And an example of that is Preston Kosterman and Braxton Wessendorf went 4-2 and didn't place. Wow. They were eliminated.
Wow.
That's like a 36-man bracket type tournament right there. Before, did have one place winner at 49. Ethan Doty was sixth. And the team 17th out of 46 teams. So that ought to tell you how tough it is with 46 teams there. So,
right. Anyway, and that's
the up there.
Of course, it won't be too long after the holidays where we'll get right in the heat of the season for those guys, especially with the multi-divisional duels at UNI that second weekend of January, I believe. So, it'll be fun to kind of watch those teams progress, especially the D3 folks with the D3 championships being in Cedar Rapids in March. So certainly excited to keep an eye on how things progress there.
Yeah, and it's nice when we have those tournaments in Cedar Rapids. I just love that.
Yes, for sure. Also, keep an eye out here for our viewers. Our next pinning combination, we'll have some information about the NWCA duels. It'll be up at Cedar Falls, the multi-divisional event. Talked with Dick Simmons at the Mount Vernon Invitational this weekend, and they're looking for some volunteers up there for that event. Certainly would be worthwhile for those wrestling supporters to be a part of that event. Certainly would be a chance for you to pitch in and help out and actually see some great wrestling up close and personal. So keep an eye out for that. Any final words before we close up our college edition for this week, Coach?
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry, you're a little bit choppy on me.
We'll have some information here in the next week's broadcast about the volunteer opportunities with the multi-divisional duels in Cedar Falls in January. Dick Simmons, one of the organizers of the event, has some volunteer opportunities, looking for volunteers for that event.
Yeah. And if you're able to volunteer, for sure, that's great. I've volunteered myself at the national tournaments that were held here in town for Dick and for the NCAA. And so it's a lot of fun. You get to see kind of behind the scenes, where you don't get to go, maybe, depending on what you're volunteering doing. But so that's a lot of fun. And I know there's a lot of old wrestlers out there that need something to do. So raise your hand and help out.
For sure. I just want to make a real quick take a look here today. Kind of sporting the memorial shirts for our late friend G. Wyatt Schultz. Such a big influence and supporter of wrestling that we like to keep his memory alive and make sure people remember exactly the impact that he made, especially in Eastern Iowa. And of course, with that, like the T-shirt says, Wyatt had a message that he always shared, whether it was on his voicemail or in his predicament publication, that we still use to close out our show. Coach, everybody, thanks for watching and listening. And Coach, go ahead and send us out for our college version of the pinning combination.
Sure.
Mornings are made easier with the Gazette's newsletters. Get daily headlines, sports updates, public safety alerts, or deep dives from our reporters, all free. Sign up at thegazette.com/newsletters.